We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back here to 560 WQAM. A very good Thursday evening to everybody. Hope you're doing well. Just tuning in, haven't heard the news. Teddy Bridgewater has decided not to sign with the Miami Dolphins. Instead, he has signed a one-year deal worth approximately $7.5 million, according to Adam Schefter, the max value of $12.5 million with incentives with the New Orleans Saints. So Teddy Bridgewater will once again back up Drew Brees and be in New Orleans with Sean Payton rather than come to his hometown and play for the Miami Dolphins. So with that in mind, the Dolphins still searching for a quarterback, still trying to decide who will be playing that position, the most important position in sports in the 2019 season. They do have a few guys under contract. Technically, Ryan Tannehill still under contract, but we're waiting to see what the Dolphins will do when it comes to the quarterback position. For more on that, we're going to go out to the phone line and welcome in Adam Beasley, who covers the Dolphins for the Miami Herald. You can follow him on Twitter at Adam H. Beasley. Bees, appreciate you joining the program as always. And hey, man, this is not a dull moment this week with the NFL new season underway. Teddy Bridgewater makes his decision. What do you think?
Yeah, everybody says the NBA has the best offseason. This has been some incredible drama in the NFL, particularly with the Miami Dolphins, right? I mean, this time last week, we were all thinking Tyrod Taylor will be the next quarterback of the Miami Dolphins, and boom, he'd rather be a backup in Los Angeles for the Chargers. Then they audible quickly, Teddy Bridgewater's on the list. He's in town, so he can come in for a visit. Boom, 24 hours later, he re-signs for the Saints to again be a backup. And spin it however you want. You're having players that could start for the Miami Dolphins rather be on the bench for another team. That's a bad look.
It is a bad look, right? And so this, I've been going back and forth about this, Bees, and trying to break down and look at this from all different angles. I'm still conflicted, as I'm sure a lot of Dolphins fans are, as to, you know, what the actual direction the organization's going. Because if they're tanking, then you probably don't want Teddy Bridgewater as your quarterback. If they're not, if you believe Chris Greer at the Combine, then I think Bridgewater would have been a terrific kind of happy medium. So you bring him in. He has the upside at 26 years old, and considering he's a former first-round pick, to potentially turn into something more than just a stopgap. And if he doesn't, you can still draft a quarterback and go that route.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't think that having Teddy Bridgewater as your quarterback precludes this team from even going 4-12 or 3-13. Because they are right now, on paper, they and the Giants are the two worst rosters in the NFL. And the Giants have Eli Manning, and the Dolphins have Teddy Bridgewater. Is there a functional difference between the two of them? So I think everyone who is saying, oh, Teddy would destroy the tanking plan, which, again, I don't think they're willfully tanking. I think what they're trying to do is find a bunch of players they can, that gather a bunch of players that they believe can help them win in 2-3 years. And if they win some games this year, great. If not, they'll be in great position to take the quarterback they want next year. But here's the Bridgewater situation. So say he had signed here. Say your quarterback room is Teddy Bridgewater, Luke Falk, and Jake Rudock, because those are the other two in addition to Tannehill that are still on the roster. That's still probably the 29th, 30th best quarterback room in the NFL, right? I mean, it wouldn't take you long to name who's worse than the Dolphins are at quarterback with that group. So let's not think that Bridgewater would have immediately made them an 8-8 team, a 7-9 team. What he would have brought you is, as you said, the upside that if you stumble into your franchise quarterback on a bargain, great. And if not, you've kept it together. You haven't lost the locker room, which I think is a real, real possibility now, guys, because I've already talked to people associated with players, and they say they know what's up. They know the direction of this franchise is not one that they're going to win this year, and they don't like it. They're not a huge fan of going out there and putting their bodies on the line for a team that has very little chance to win this year. And so you have to have at least a competent respectable quarterback that the locker room isn't going to turn on the second he shows up. And I think that would be your problem with Blake Bortles. You bring Blake Bortles down here, and he's probably on their list now too. And suddenly the locker room's looking at you cross-eyed saying, you're asking us to go across the middle and try to make tough catches for this guy? He's not going to put it in the same zip code we are. So it's a danger time for this franchise. It really is. Now think about this. This is a storied franchise. The only undefeated team in NFL history was the 72 Dolphins. Dan Marino was at the top of the quarterback's powers was Dan Marino in the 80s and 90s with the Miami Dolphins. And now you have this? I mean, I think this might be even a little bit more embarrassing than 1-15. And we'll see how it plays out, and maybe there is a magic plan we don't know about. Maybe they throw enough at Josh Rosen. The Cardinals really like Kyler Murray. There are ways out of this. But right now, you can't spin this as a good thing for the Miami Dolphins.
I'm with you, Bees. And the other question I had to follow up on that is that if you're going to have a conversation with Teddy Bridgewater, I mean, my interpretation of this is that they either, you know, presented a contract which didn't suit what he was looking for, right? Or he just doesn't want to come down here to be set up for failure, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, probably a combination of the two. But
it's probably both.
But why would you even get involved in conversations for Teddy Bridgewater if you weren't going to put a competitive offer on the table?
Yeah, that's the question. Dina Rossini of ESPN, who's really plugged in with the Saints, she reported that the only way Bridgewater was going to come here was if the Dolphins gave him life-changing money. Now, his agent has to be smarter than that to know that's not going to happen. I mean, he doesn't have an internet access. He doesn't read the newspaper. He doesn't see all the reports. Doesn't see Twitter. Doesn't go on Pro Football Talk that this is a team in total rebuilding mode, and they're trying to draft a quarterback. They're not going to give Teddy Bridgewater $15, $16 million a year and turn around and draft a quarterback in a month. It's just not going to happen. So I think some of that's on his representation, too, if really that's the case. For bringing him in here, knowing it's not just not a reality, it's not going to happen. So the question is this: does Teddy someday regret this? Because say Breeze is healthy and they're a very good team again this year, and he plays at a high level, he wants to come back again in 2020. Then you're really behind the eight ball here because he has not played a full season, Greg, since 2015. That was the last time he was a regular starting quarterback. People talk about, you know, Colin Kaepernick, who we can get into in a minute if you want, talk about Colin Kaepernick being rusty, being away from the game too long. I mean, Bridgewater has taken, like, I don't know, 60 snaps in the last three seasons. I mean, that's wild to me. I know he's been in practice, and he went through training camp and preseason last year and all that. But to think that Bridgewater in 2020 can walk onto a team and be the guy who was in 2015, that to me is a stretch.
Good point. Adam Beasley covers the Dolphins for the Miami Herald, joining me here on 560 WQAM. I want to follow up on the point you made before about Blake Bortles and the idea of bringing a quarterback here that the players will respect and want to play for. I mean, who's left that would fit that bill? Like, who is left on the open market that the Dolphins could bring in that you would say, hey, that's my teammate, that's the guy I want to go to battle with?
Fitzmagic, maybe? I mean, is that a name? He's had success. I mean, he lit it up for a while in Tampa last year. If I were the Dolphins, that's who I would consider before Bortles. I think Bortles is just it's just waving the white flag at the feet. It really is, because anybody with eyes knows that he is not a starting quarterback of the National Football League. And then there is the possibility that I mentioned earlier, Colin Kaepernick. And again, he has been out of the league forever. He hasn't played in a long time. But if there is ever a franchise that is suited for Colin Kaepernick trying to make a comeback, it's this. It's the Dolphins. They have no chance of winning this year. They're not going to be a good football team. They have a very progressive-minded, when it comes to racial issues, owner in Stephen Ross, created the Rise Foundation to use sports to help combat racism. And they are the only team in the NFL with a black head coach and a black general manager. I think it makes a whole lot of sense. Now, obviously, the Castro love and all that would be a huge turnoff to a large segment of this fan base. I don't know if the Dolphins can overcome that, but it's not like they're going to be packing the house this year anyway. And I think it would add a jolt of excitement to this franchise. It would allow Steve Ross to burnish his credentials of being on the right side of the racial issue. And it would for Kaepernick, it'd be a chance to show that he could still play. I think a lot of those things would make a lot of sense. The question is, would the Dolphins come up with the money that he wants? There was a report that the AAF was interested, but they didn't come close salary-wise. Certainly the NFL's got a lot deeper pockets than that. But for me, if I were Chris Greer, if I were Brian Flores, and if I were Stephen Ross, I would give it a little bit of thought.
Yeah, I still wonder, you brought it up, the Fidel Castro situation. I don't know if some of the community would ever get over that, but it is an intriguing possibility for a lot of the reasons you said. Bees, while we're on the topic of quarterbacks, there have been some rumblings about the Giants not taking a quarterback in the first round this year, despite everything that they've gone through this offseason. Do you think the Dolphins should be interested then if Dwayne Haskins falls? Because a lot of people have pegged him at number six to the Giants, but if he falls from there, is that a guy that they could potentially move up to get? And maybe that answers all of our questions.
Yeah, I think the way this is shaping up, and it's a tankathon right now, right? It was a tankathon.com is the website that tells you up to the minute where your team would be drafting if the season ended today. I think the Giants are the Dolphins' number one competition for Tua, because you look at what they're doing with their roster, and although the Golden Tate signing today made me scratch my head, because for a team that's tanking, you're not throwing a whole mess of money at a slot, you know, wide receiver. That's wild. But, you know, I think those are the two teams that are looking at the 2020 draft keenly for quarterbacks. So if the Giants pass completely, and that's what some of the reports out of New York are, pass completely on the quarterback market, certainly Dwayne Haskins could fall. And he could fall to 10, he could fall to 11, and the Dolphins will have a real, real decision to make. Kyler Murray, I think, is a pipe dream. I think he is going to go in the top five if he doesn't go number one overall. And for the Dolphins to get him at number one, assuming that Cliff Kingsbury doesn't want him, which is, I think, a pretty wild assumption based on his comments in the past and the lack of faith they've shown in Josh Rosen. But let's just say that draft pick is up for bidding. Say that they could go and get that pick. It would take this year's first. It would take next year's first, which will almost certainly be a top-five pick. It will probably take a third as well, and it'll take a player. It'll take a really good player. That player might be Xavien Howard. So would you give up two firsts, Xavien Howard, and maybe a third for Kyler Murray? Or would you just sit tight, take your lumps this year, have the draft pick come to you organically, go and get Justin Herbert, Tua, there's a whole list of quarterbacks that probably be ahead of, you know, either of those guys in this year's class? I think that's a smart plan. I still do. I know the Dolphins are saying they're in it to win it this year, but their actions, I listen with my eyes and not my ears, and my eyes are telling me that this is a 4-12 roster.
Yeah, it's looking that way. Adam Beasley joining me here on 560 WQAM, covers the Dolphins for the Miami Herald. I enjoyed your article. I thought you brought up some really good points about the possibility that Tannehill and Robert Quinn may stick around. You know, Devontae Parker has already surprised all of us by being back with the team. We all assumed he'd be gone. Tannehill, as of right now, still on the roster. So is Robert Quinn. Why do you think that is, and do you think that those guys do stick around for 2019?
Well, it's funny. Did you see Olivier Vernon's response to that story?
I was going to ask you about that. Where did that come from?
Oh, man, is he not like Ryan Tannehill? My goodness. I'll get into the background first. As you mentioned, I wrote Ryan Tannehill. We can kind of understand why he's still on the team. They don't have a quarterback. But what is Robert Quinn doing on the team? He has got a $12.9 million cap number this year. That's a combination of base salary and a $1.1 million roster bonus that was paid out today. He was guaranteed that at the end of business today, $1.1 million. And so my thinking when I wrote that this morning was, well, maybe they're waiting until the zero hour to try to trade him. But it wasn't going to happen. If they couldn't have traded him in the last 2 weeks, they're not going to trade him today. So one possibility is they don't have any defensive ends. They don't have a whole lot of faith in Charles Harris. Branch is gone. Wake is gone. They need somebody to set the edge, even though we didn't do that particularly well last year. They need somebody to play defensive end for them. Or maybe they bite the bullet, eat that $1.1 million, get through the draft, get into training camp, and if a team has a defensive end need, somebody goes down or they don't come out of the draft with a guy they like, maybe then the trade market will be a little bit more appealing. That's the only rationale that makes sense to me. But because to pay Robert Quinn, who, yes, he had 6.5 sacks last year, which isn't great, but it's not terrible. But if you watch him against the run, it was bad. He looked out of place. He looked slow. He didn't look like he knew what he was doing. and the Dolphins are now bringing him back, paying him as a top 15 defensive end. For me, I just don't get it. Olivier Vernon, as we mentioned, saw it differently, and I'll see if I can pull up the exact tweet while we're on the air, but you always wonder if players privately think about Ryan Tannehill like the fans do. And I think at the end of the day, the answer is yes. There's a lot of guys that have played for him, played with him, that didn't much respect him at the time and just kind of kept it quiet. Here's Olivier Vernon's response to that story. And the story, again, here's the headline. Tannehill we sort of get, but why is Robert Quinn still on the Dolphins roster? And Vernon's response to me was, and he did it with the emoji. Sorry, sir, but what has Tannehill done compared to Robert Quinn? A solidified pass rusher that plays the right side. For the people that don't know, that's the best offensive tackles on the offensive line. Don't disrespect Quinn like that, sir. They're in different boats. He did that with the boat emoji. So, and any of us with eyes saw that Robert Quinn wasn't the same player last year that he was 5 years ago. But for OV to, you know, I didn't tag OV on this. I didn't say players love Ryan Tannehill. I just made the point that neither Quinn nor Tannehill make a lot of sense, and Quinn makes even less sense, and that triggered him. And he was not pleased about that, and he got a show of support from players including Mike Wallace, Matt Hazel, if you remember him yep. from practice squad days, and even Jordan Phillips kind of chimed in, not in agreement, but certainly not in disagreement either. So it's pretty wild. And as I mentioned, what would the locker room think if Ryan Tannehill is their quarterback this year? What would Ryan Tannehill think if he's the quarterback this year? Because everyone knows that they tried to get rid of him. They tried to trade him. They were thinking about cutting him. The plan was to cut him if they got another quarterback in here. And to me, and I'll ask you, Greg, the only thing that makes sense that they haven't released him now is that they're still considering him to be their quarterback in 2019.
I suppose, but, you know, a couple of follow-ups to that. Like, the fact that Olivier Vernon volunteered that information, right, to put his opinion out there, like, he's got no horse in the race. The fact that he was thought that strongly that he needed to voice his opinion, that's...
Yeah, that was 2 teams ago.
Yeah, that tells you something right there. The second part is, like, I don't think that Chris Greer and especially Brian Flores can enter this season with Ryan Tannehill on the roster. You've got to hit the reset button. And, you know, they may not look at it this way, but Tannehill has gotten, what, a few different regimes / coaching staffs fired from during his tenure as the Dolphins quarterback. They need to start fresh. I don't care who it is. You've named a bunch of names tonight. There's some guys that have no experience in the roster. Any would be better than Ryan Tannehill just based off the appearance. You can't have that guy under center for this team in 2019.
Well, I would largely agree with you. But they've got to start somebody. And are they going to be the team that starts Blake Bortles? I mean, is that part of the calculation? I want to know where Flores' head is here on all this, because we know Greer thinks like a personnel guy, and he thinks 4 or 5 steps ahead, and he is setting up this year's roster for next year, right? But Brian Flores doesn't have that luxury. I mean, I know he has a 5-year contract, and I know this is year one, but does he want to set the tone? You have to worry about what the toxic, you know, effect it would have on this team if they were just completely bottomed out, if they went 1-15 and 2-14. And I think if you start Jake Rudock or Luke Falk or David Fales, that's a real possibility. So you still have to build a team. Yes, getting the #1 overall draft pick is hugely important for this franchise because they'll have their pick of the quarterbacks in a really good quarterback year, we believe. But you also can't be so bad and so inept and so dysfunctional that it ruins the really talented players you have on there. And I think Cleveland was a good example of that. It took 2 years of 1-31, hitting the right quarterback, and then firing their coach just for them to go .500. And I know everyone's crowning them today, and I know everyone thinks they're going to be in the Super Bowl. There's still a lot of players in that team that lost a lot of games, that don't have good winning habits. And you look at the Patriots. And it's a team you're always going to compare them to, particularly now because of who's running this organization. Do you think that Bill Belichick ever would have thought it'd be good for us to go 1-31 over the course of 2 years? No. That's just not how the National Football League is wired. I know in the NBA you're one player away. You're one LeBron away from having, you know, a really relevant, if not competitive, if not championship competitive team. It might work out like that if you get Andrew Luck. there's not every draft has an Andrew Luck, and not every prospect we think is going to be great is going to be Andrew Luck. So it's they're playing a gamble here. If they think that they, and I don't think they do. I think they're more serious than that. But if they think they can really just pack it in, have 4 months of just a completely ruined locker room, it's not going to end up how they think.
Well, yeah, and it would go opposite of what Brian Flores presented in his introductory press conference, right? Because he wants, you know, we all know that he's starting off fresh. He wants to start things the right way and build those winning habits, as you mentioned. So, yeah, I can't see how he would be on board with that. Real quickly, Bees, you mentioned Robert Quinn and Tannehill, you know, still around as of right now. I don't know if he wanted to be here anymore, but if we're going to apply that same logic, like, say, with Quinn, I don't know why they wouldn't have worked out a deal with Cam Wake to stick around. You know what I mean? Like, if you just need a body at defensive end and you're willing to pay, you know, potentially over $11 million for Robert Quinn to still be here, and I think it's up to 12.9 or something with the salary cap hit, why couldn't you have given Cam Wake $10 million guaranteed like he got in Tennessee?
That is a question that's excellent. That had not occurred to me until this moment, and one that I don't have an answer for. The only answer I could have is this. Cam was ready to move on. And he said last year that he wanted to retire a Dolphin, but, you know, the Titans are a competent team. If Mariota stays healthy, they're a winning team. They're a team that could make some noise, and their defense could be really, really good, particularly now with Cam Wake on it. Maybe he was just ready for a fresh start. I would have thought that, I mean, he's made... not that I'm his accountant, but he's made enough money. I would have thought he would have signed with a team that was tailor-made to make a run. The Rams love these older veteran pass rushers. I mean, the Patriots always, you know, seem to find the guy at the end of his career that gives them one last great year. Chicago's got an incredible pass rush. There are teams that are closer to winning than the Titans. That was a bit of a surprise to me that he didn't sign with one of those guys.
Yeah, I'm with you, but I'm happy for him. 37 years old, gets a contract like that. I mean, just goes to show you that he's still got something left in the tank, not just the Dolphins, but the rest of the league sees it. Hey, Bees, this has been awesome. So much going on. Great to get your opinion on everything, and I'm sure we'll be talking again soon as this NFL offseason continues to progress for the Dolphins.
Are you taking Syracuse plus 15 tonight?
Sure, yes.
Not a lot of conviction there, Likens.
Buddy Boeheim for 30 points. How about that?
Sounds good.
All right, have a good one, Bees.
Later, bud.
Yes. Oh, man, that's going to be a tough game against Duke. That's to be sure. Hey, great to hear from Adam Beasley. I encourage you to read all his work in the Miami Herald and follow him on Twitter at Adam H. Beasley.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.